Okay, so I'm continuing our series looking at agape love, the unconditional love of God. And this morning I'm looking at love does not brag and love is not proud. I'm looking at the subject of pride. And what I'll be doing this morning is giving lots and lots of examples of what pride is. And then at the end of it, giving you God's solution of how he pulls down the stronghold of pride and enables us to walk in humility. So as we're going through, maybe you'll recognize yourself and think, wow, I didn't realize that was pride. The idea of this preach is not to condemn you or to make you feel bad, because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That actually we have unconditional love. We're loved even with our pride, which is amazing, and we're accepted even with it. Although pride does get in the way of receiving grace, because it's an oppositional stronghold and resists God. So in 1 Corinthians 13, it's amazing to note that the opposite of love is not hate. We'd often think that, wouldn't we? We'd say, oh, the opposite of love is to hate. But actually, it's pride. Because agape love is unconditional love that always benefits the other. God so agape'd the world that he gave his son for the benefit of the world. It causes us to look outwards and to serve other people. But pride is essentially, in its very nature, self-centered. Pride is essentially self-centered. And Paul says that love does not brag or boast, and love is not proud. It's amazing, the very nature of God, although he is the highest of the high, chose on Palm Sunday, which is today, not to enter Jerusalem on a mighty white stallion to demonstrate his kingship, not flanked by soldiers, but came on a humble donkey. God himself is humble, bows and washes the feet of his disciples. So pride has many, many expressions. Pride is on a spectrum. So we could say on one end of the spectrum on pride is inferiority. Feeling I'm nothing, I'm small, I'm a failure. That's pride. And on the other end of the spectrum, pride is preoccupied with self and is conceited. So you can have the pride of the weak and you can have the pride of the strong. The pride of the weak is inferiority. The pride of the strong can look like excessive boasting about oneself. Both are pride. However pride manifests, pride is always self-consumed. Pride is always preoccupied with oneself. And pride always places the person at the very, very center of the universe. Pride is where we think about ourselves all the time. Don't know if any of you have experienced this. What does it mean about me if I'm in the room with these people? Ever been like that? Ever been in a room where you think, I think I'm the most qualified in this room? Have you ever done that? You holy, holy people. Ever been in a room and you rank yourself? Ever said something and thought immediately, I wonder how I came across them. I wonder if they think I'm clever or if they think I'm a bit dumb. Ever said something boldly and confidently and then said, I hope they don't think I was being arrogant when I said. Ever been like this, did he or she ignore me and snub me and not see me? Ever done that? Have you ever sat looking out the window at work and daydreamed about hitting a self-esteem home run? I could invent that. I could do that. And then they'd all see me and they would know. Have you ever lived beating yourself up with regrets I wish I hadn't, I wish I had, I should have said, I didn't say, I wish I had done and I didn't. They're all...
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yes.
Now, I've actually done all of these. Okay, so. These are all pride. Okay? These are all pride. Pride gives birth probably to all of the sins. It's the starting point, the birthplace of probably all sin. Eat this and you'll be like God. You'll know the knowledge of. Pride is so destructive. Pride kills community. Pride isolates us from other people. Pride stops us being known, and pride stops us knowing one another deeply. Pride sometimes means on this end of the spectrum, we never ever say what we're strong at and what our gifts are, or we never show our struggles. Pride imprisons us in self-pity, comparison, isolates. Pride births lying. The reason we lie, and we lie for lots of different reasons, but at its root is pride. I don't want them to know that I didn't know. Don't want them to know that I failed. Want to present something that's not true. Don't want to be found out. Don't want to be told off. Pride stops us listening to others. Have you ever been in a conversation and you really couldn't care about what the other person is saying? Because what you really want is to say something clever. I like what they're saying, but I think I could come in at this angle. Stops us listening. So that stops us learning. It stunts our growth. It keeps us hidden. Pride can stop us taking any risks. We find out what we're good at. And then we don't try anything else that we might fail at because we don't want to look foolish or a failure. That's pride. Pride keeps us in our comfort zone, and ultimately pride hinders intimacy with God. It stops us leaning, depending, trusting, surrendering upon God because we believe that we can do a better job than God. Amen. And we don't really need him, and we certainly don't want him interfering in our lives and reigning in any way, really. So if unconditional love, agape love, which is other giving love, it looks outwards and serves other people and benefits other people, if unconditional love is not the driving force behind our action, pride most probably will be. And Corinthians, Paul would say, look, you can give everything away that you own. You can exercise incredible spiritual gifts and understand all mysteries and have power to literally move mountains by your faith. And indeed, you can even lay down your life and become a martyr. And it could all be motivated by self-centered pride. Amen. And not agape love.
Amen.
Which is a really sobering thing. I love going to Rochelle's mum and dad's by the sea, and one of the things I do enjoy still, if I can find some smaller people to come with me, is going to the rock pools and picking up the rocks and looking at the squiggly things that live under the rocks. I still find that enjoyable and fun. And so there's a sense in which this morning what we're doing is we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lift up the rock and show us the squiggly things. Because I don't know about you, we can spot pride in another person very, very easily. We've got the gift of discernment and we know they're proud. It's quite hard to spot pride in yourself. I mean, I guess that's why Jesus said, take the log out of your eye rather than spot the speck of pride into someone else's. And actually, maybe we don't really want to face pride. Because it's quite humiliating, isn't it, to realise we're proud. And pride is a big thing because it actually holds back Jesus' people. In many ways, it holds us back from intimacy with one another. and it holds us back from really deeply loving one another, and it holds us back from pointing the world to Him. Amen. Because we're frightened of taking a risk and looking foolish and making mistakes. And Jesus said, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other, just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So it's a huge thing of demonstrating to the world that Jesus is alive and that we belong to Him by the quality of our love. And pride is the great enemy of love. And so to get rid of pride, one of the things we need to recognize is pride is a common defense mechanism if you're a human being. It's a way to compensate. And we're going to look at that, how we use pride to compensate. It's a way to numb our pain and to cover our insecurities. So for some people, the way they, when they're feeling nervous, they puff up. They get bigger. Louder, bolder, more confident. Actually, what really is going on is I'm frightened, I'm scared to be seen, I don't want anybody to think I don't know. So I puff up. Other people hide and withdraw and go smaller. But both are defenses rooted in pride.
Amen.
And so the puffing up looks like this. It looks like overt bragging and boasting. It looks like in people just overly self-confident and they've kind of got a swagger in which they present to the world, I'm puffed up, I know it all. And it's a way of disguising reality that in reality, I'm frightened of being seen and I'm frightened of being seen as inadequate. It's a desperation for recognition, and then that inflates and inflates and inflates, and then goes bang with criticism and becomes devastated by criticism. Pride and the overconfident looks like overly talking about achievements or inflating one's importance, projecting a more successful image of themselves. And probably pride and what Rochelle did last week, envy, have loved social media and Instagram.
Right.
And I think there's some amazing things with social media and it's an amazing invention, but it's a beautiful place for pride.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to show you the best bits of my life.
Amen.
I'm going to show you me on my best day and I'll get rid of everything else. And so with social media, can be a place where there's self-exalting, attention-seeking, preoccupation with self. It can look like trying to manage everyone's perception by presenting this image. We tend not to like the arrogant, so most of us probably wouldn't fall for that kind of demonstration of pride. Because we know in workplaces, in offices, in hospitals and schools, the one with the overconfident, puffed up swagger isn't liked for very long. So what we look for is a more subtle expression of pride. Something that's a bit more refined and a little bit more acceptable to express what we need. And that looks like this. Always bringing the conversation back to yourself. Someone's talking, going to bring it back to what I know. Someone's saying something, going to bring it back to what I've experienced. Someone's done something, going to tell you that I've done the same thing too. That's a sometimes more acceptable way. Sometimes pride, on this end of the spectrum, which is where it becomes inferiority and weakness, we even can present it looking like humility. But it's still pride, where we only ever talk about our woundedness. We only ever talk about our sadness. We only ever talk about how badly things have gone for us. We only ever talk about I deserved more, I was entitled to more, I can't believe I was let down. It can look like putting yourself down. It can look like whining, it can look like pouting, and it can look like self-pity. But it's still pride. To the one who's puffed up, it's all about them and they're the centre of the universe. To the one who makes themselves small, it's all about them. It's just about their brokenness and neediness. And so Paul says, love does not brag, it is not proud. That love doesn't necessarily speak that much about itself. And it's not puffed up with its achievements or trapped in being overly concerned about his hurts. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak to people about where we're wounded. I'm not saying we shouldn't speak about our need of grace, that we shouldn't be honest and real and authentic. That's important. I'm talking about when we become stuck in an identity of pride where it's all about us. And so it doesn't speak that much about itself. It's not puffed up with its achievements or trapped in being overly concerned with its hurts. Love is other-directed. It's not self-consumed. It's happy, actually, to lean on God, to draw on God's grace, to draw on his power. Now, this is the tricky thing with pride. How do you get rid of it to close? If pride is a preoccupation with ourselves, whether our weaknesses or our strengths, then you can't defeat pride by being preoccupied with how you're doing against pride. So you could leave this morning and think, actually, I think I've got some pride. I'm going to really get rid of pride. I'm going to see where pride shows up. I'm going to measure my life to see how I'm doing against pride. Oh no, I'm absolutely obsessed and consumed with myself. Pride. And so the problem of pride is this. It doesn't boil down to whether we have high thoughts about ourselves or low thoughts about ourselves. Pride is essentially having lots of thoughts about ourselves. So we actually can be in pride where we're absolutely preoccupied with being a better follower of Jesus. We can actually be consumed with our own performance in following Jesus rather than actually consumed with and obsessed with Jesus himself. So humility then is fundamentally a form of self-forgetfulness.
Amen.
As opposed to pride's self-obsession.
Amen.
And so the gospel sets us free from pride in two ways. The first way, it captivates us by the value and worth of the Lord Jesus and the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Worshipping him for who he is, delighting in him for who he is, rather than delighting in him so that he makes much of us, which is a form of pride. So worship captivates us with him. We love on him, we delight in him, we rejoice in him, we love to be with him. And I think even in the loving to be with him, he does speak into the areas of our heart. He does touch our heart and set us free. He does, in that moment, those moments of intimacy and connection, he does heal us and break in. There's something about I'm living my whole life for loving God. And somehow in that loving of God, the void that drove pride gets filled up by the reality, wow, God is wonderful.
Beautiful.
And so in this intimate space of delight, our healthy needs get met.
Yes.
Because each of us need to be loved. Each of us want to be seen. Each of us need to be cherished. Each of us need to be celebrated. We need to get healthy needs met in a healthy way. And then in that place of intimacy with God, of delighting in God, of being awakened to his love and his goodness, we come to recognize I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
We come to realize, wow, Galatians, when Paul says, take delight in who he made you to be. Mm. Or other translations would interestingly say, take pride in who God has made you to be without competition and without comparison. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And so that's that dynamic thing in which everything is about being captivated with him, but not in a kind of stoical, we don't think about ourselves and we're just nothing. But in this relationship, we make much of him, he makes much of us, and our cry then becomes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yeah.
Your works are wonderful. Yeah. I know that full well.
Amen.
Then we begin to take delight in ourselves without competition and without comparison. We can enjoy who he made us to be.
Mm.
We can enjoy our sense of humor. We can enjoy our gifts and abilities. We can be in a room of all these people now and think, how do I serve the room? How do I bring who I am to bless other people in the room? It's not now about making our identity puffed up, or it's not about shrinking away. It's about delighting in who God is.
Mm.
So I'm going to invite us to stand as I wrap up.
Beautiful.
And sometimes we get set free by moments where we just realize that that thing that's driving us is something ugly like pride. And that's not a problem. Reality's not a problem. We come to God even in this moment with our reality. We just come to God and say, actually, God, I think you put your finger on something this morning. I can see that when I shrink or when I puff up, or when I go quiet, or when I overtalk, or when I don't think about the needs of others, or when I become rejected, or when I'm preoccupied with myself, God, that's pride.
Amen.
And we don't come then thinking I'm going to really work on pride. We just come just as we are right now to the one who's powerful, and the one who loves us unconditionally, and the one who's for us, and the one who delights over you with singing, and the one who calls you his beloved, and the one who calls you, you are my son, you are my daughter, with you I'm well pleased. We just come to the Father and just say, I just recognize I'm going to need just to come to you and fix my eyes on you, because I'm not going to be fixing my eyes on pride and fixing myself. I'm coming to you to delight in you and trusting that you have wisdom, that you have power, that you have strategies, that you have capacity, that you have ability, that you have resources to deal with this area of woundedness or insecurity in my life. That you're able to still, Jesus, to set the captives free.
Amen.
And to release the prisoner.
Amen.
But we don't get free of pride by becoming preoccupied with pride, because that leads to more pride. We become preoccupied with the sufficiency of God and who God is, and the grace of God and the power of God and the ability of God.
Hallelujah.
James says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. The humble are simply those who come to God saying, it's a bigger mountain than I can deal with. Now you deal with it. My preoccupation is not that. I'm coming to you for your help and resources.
Hallelujah.
And then we come to God and just say, God, I surrender myself to you. I surrender myself into this identity with you. I lean back into your arms. I let you love on me. I trust your assessment. I believe what you say about me. I love the way you love me. I love the way you're for me. I love the way you made me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I surrender any false identity, any defense mechanism, any way that I've tried to bring safety and security to myself by puffing up or shrinking down. I lay it down so that I might, by increments, be seen and known.
Amen.
Be seen and known. And God says that I want to show you off to the world. I want to show you off. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I want to show that off to the people in your workplace. I want to show off your sense of humor. I want to show off your passions and interests. I want to show off your insights and capacities. I want to show off your story. And it starts by surrender to your assessment.
Amen.
I surrender to your assessment. I'm laying down all my arguments.
Mm.
I'm laying it down. I'm taking a leap of faith. I don't need that defense mechanism anymore because I've got love.
Amen.
Mm. So even in this closing moment, let him love on you.
Amen.
Let him love on you.
Amen.
Receive his unconditional love. Just receive his love. Let him meet all your deepest needs in the most healthy way possible. Jesus said at the cross, "It is finished." And so as you leave even this morning, the preoccupation is not with an identity that says, "Oh, I'm proud." But with, "I'm bringing that to you, I'm bringing it to the cross. I'm confessing it to you." And Jesus says, "It's finished. It's forgiven. It's covered. Come, let's walk in a new way. Come, let's walk in a new way. Have a healthy assessment of yourself. What do the testimonies say about you? What does the fruit on your life say about you? What do other people say about you? You make me feel so welcome. You're so hospitable. You really encourage me. Gary, you really encourage me. Every time I'm around you, I always feel encouraged. I always feel bigger, funnier. Do that to me every single week. What do the prophecies say about you?" Galatians says, take pride, right pride in yourself. Take delight in yourself. Amen. Celebrate who you are. I'm great at that. That's not pride. It's not comparison, it's not competition, it's just recognition. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. All your works are wonderful. I'm wonderful.
Amen.
So as we wrap up, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Thank you so much.